and welcome to another episode of CyberBytes, the podcast. Today, it's my pleasure to welcome Tony, special guest all the way from the mountains in Spain. Tony is the creator of Prowler and co-founder and CTO. It's great to have you, Tony. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Thanks, Stefan, for having me.
And you're absolutely welcome. Am I correct to say you're in the Spanish mountains right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in the south of Spain in a city, in a province called Granada. I live in a small town called Alfacar. Okay. It sounds like a car dealer, but it's a town. And I live in the, next to the mountains here.
Right. Well, it's great to have you on. The way I like to start, Tony, is can you give the audience or tell the audience who you are and also the problem that Prowler solves?
Sure. So I'm passionate about cybersecurity in general, and in the last 12 years, mostly about cloud security. I started with AWS. Now I do other clouds as well. I always liked working with cybersecurity, doing pen testing, also doing hardening. You know, the offensive and defensive side of cybersecurity. And in the last years, very focused on the cloud security APIs, mostly AWS, but also now jumping into other clouds and including Kubernetes.
Nice, cool. And around Prowler then, know you're the creator of Prowler. What specifically does Prowler solve for its customers?
I started, as I said, a few years ago, and I realized that we didn't have actual open tools to provide data about the status of your cloud infrastructure related to its security posture. So I started writing Prowler because I wanted to see what I had in the cloud, how was that configured, and basically, visibility and the status of the security. So with that, I wanted to provide also a tool for me, for my colleagues by that time, and for the community to do audits and security assessments, a tool to help with hardening, a tool that will help help with compliance to make sure you are, fitting the requirements of different compliance frameworks. Also helping on incident response, because you can see what is more or less critical in terms of severity, and pen testing. Yeah. It's a mix of five main use cases that I wanted to solve for me, but also to provide that to the community and create more checks and more use cases, but mostly those five.
Very cool. And winding back then, so what was the story for you around getting into cybersecurity? How did it all start?
Well, I started a long time ago. I read this book, The Focus Act. Let me show you. This book is very good. It's one of the first books for cybersecurity, I think, about hacking, spies, and all that stuff.
Did you say, for the listeners?
The Cuckoo's Eggs.
Okay, nice.
Cuckoo's Egg. The Clip for a Stall is the author. We can add that into the comments. Sure. Even before that, I always had, that curiosity of taking things apart, watches, everything, calculators, everything. And when I had my first computer, I wanted to understand how it works. I have never be very into the gaming and all that stuff. So I wanted to discover things and learn how everything works. So when I saw the opportunity, also learning about networks, computer networks, that you can jump from one computer to other, you can hack into other computers and things like that, it was like, wow, this is very interesting. That was around, I don't know, when I was 18, probably. My first computer was at 11, when I was 18. From there, I started working in a company, building PCs and, learning this job from scratch, from really, really scratch. Yeah, that is how I started and doing also pen testing. I have to say that I'm not good at pen testing because I liked to do pen testing in my own time during the nights, not being paid for pen testing, you know, because it's too much pressure.
Yeah. What's the like the weirdest item that you've hacked into or broken apart, do you say?
Probably I cannot say that. But I can say that it was 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In a really big Cisco router.
Okay, nice.
Using SNMP. You know that protocol? Simple network management protocol?
Yeah.
I mean, networks and all that stuff is something that I always like to. It's very important to learn about that because when you move to the cloud, everything is very abstract in terms of networking.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, some layers are not even important in the cloud. But when it comes to troubleshooting and understanding what's going on, having a very good concept of how the networks, IP networks work, that is very, very important.
Yeah, interesting. So was Prowler your first startup or have you had like a consultancy startup or gig in between that?
Well, legally speaking, I had a company when I was in the US, but it was just for training. I lived in the US 7 years before I moved back to Spain. And I worked for other startups. Prowler is my second startup, let's say that way. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
With my own product is the first one. Yeah.
Nice. And what's for those that don't know Prowler, what's the story behind it? Because most founders I speak to that there's a reason that it all started, right? And you've kind of touched on this on the problems it solves, but keen to hear the story. Is there a particular reason it was one day you're like, I need this, I'm gonna build this?
Yeah, it was like once you have, let's say, the product market fit using an open source tool, which is not a market, but it's somehow is market because the open source community behind cloud or cloud security is different community. It's different open source community because sometimes we talk about open source and we think about free, but in the cloud, nothing is free. Of course, Prowler open source is free and is Apache license. But it's not free because if you run Prowler in a cloud, it's because you have something in the cloud. And so therefore you are paying something for the cloud provider.
Yeah.
So I realized that Prowler was becoming more and more popular in terms of GitHub stars and all that stuff. And downloads, traffic, people asking questions, sending pull requests with bugs, fixing bugs, new features, all that stuff. And I said, well, this is something that is getting traction. It's not my first open source project with some sort of popularity, but I wanted to pay more attention just in case. With that, in Silicon Valley, in the US, in many places, people is always eager to see those projects that are going to work well, and they knock your door saying, hey, why not to build a company on top of that? And I always was saying no, because I was focused on the technology. And also I was focused on my employer that it was also AWS because I left my other job and I started working for AWS. So it was very exciting times for me. But during that time, I realized that Prowler was growing more and more as a project. And I decided to, I met Casey Rosenthal. He's the chaos engineering guy. He started that at Netflix. So Casey is a very, very smart guy. He knows very well about the startup world, how to raise money from VCs. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, let's do this. And I have to take advantage of having good connections during all my years in the US and also having a project that has good traction. We pass also 7 million of downloads. To give you an idea, every 20 seconds, somebody scans their cloud with Prowler.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
And also, and we say, okay, what can we do? Let's start let's give the community the same thing that they have with Prowler open source, but without having to run Prowler. Wow. So, and that is Prowler SaaS, which is the idea that we have to get money out of the customer. So we run Prowler for you. We give you the same outputs that Prowler open source gives to you with a nice dashboards, integrations, etc.
Nice.
And that is what we are doing now.
Yeah. And it's a massive leap, right? Going from a very secure job at AWS, I can imagine, to then running your first product SaaS startup. What surprised you the most about taking that jump?
Wow, building a company is tough. It's even way, way more difficult than I ever thought. Because you have to have, so when you are an employee of a big company or even a small company, it's everything is easy. Even if it's very challenging, it's easy because you have to be focused on that. When you run a company, coming from with my background that I'm a technical guy, and I love technology and I love cybersecurity, it's like, okay, that is this part of the spectrum, right? But everything else is what you have to take into account running a company, because you are from, let's say, a violinist to the director of the sketch or the of the orchestra, right? It's a big jump. It's a huge jump. So yeah, it's challenging, but at the same time, we have a huge community. We see new signups in our SaaS every day. It's like our fuel, you know, to keep motivated. And I think we are doing something very impactful, because when you look at the current landscape of cloud security, you see a bunch of black boxes, very good products, don't get me wrong, they're very good and huge companies selling solutions, but you don't see what's going on there. So our opportunity with Prowler is to go there, be different, because we are open, because you can develop your own checks, because you can develop many different features for other dashboards, use the data that we have, and many other things that we are implementing without having to trust. So you don't have to trust us. You just see what we are doing. So we are open, really open and transparent. And that is the difference in the market that we want to offer. We are offering, actually. And that is the opportunity. So yeah, it's challenging, but at the same time, I think there is room for us.
Yeah. It's interesting to say that. Look, everyone's going to the cloud, right? It's just a natural transition. It's happening. So I do believe that. And it's interesting what you say, the openness and transparency. I think that can be lost within the space. So giving customers the opportunity to be in control is very important.
Yeah, exactly. This market is huge. So if you look at the CSPM or whatever other acronym that you want to use, there is a lot of players there. And it's fine, but I think we have a competitive advantage being Prowler open source and being now Prowler SaaS. So people can go and understand very well the way that our checks are written, the way that we map those technical checks with the compliance requirements that you may have in your country, which is totally different to the US or to Spain. And you can build that in Prowler very straightforward. It's not that easy in other products. So we want to be, let's say, the SDK of cloud security.
Nice. And going back to the point we touched on earlier around the jump from being very comfortable in AWS, very easy, and then you're solving hard problems, to going to the startup. I like the analogy you use, you're a violinist in an orchestra, and then you go to the director of the orchestra, right? It's a massive jump. Was there any education materials that really helped you, or did you lean on VCs for support? How did you, well, you're probably still making that jump, but how did you go from the violinist maybe to the manager of the orchestra before the director? Like what sort of resources and support did you get there?
Good point. So in my case, I'm very, very fortunate to have Casey as my CEO. Casey has a lot of experience and a good vision about, you know, the money part of this business, and that helps a lot. Also, in order to, when you jump to this time of adventure, you have to be very, very focused and clear objectives. And this is something that I have. This is something that we all have. And when you have that, I will say obsession, but it's not. Obsession has some negative connotations, right? But it's like you have very clear what you want to do. It's like, okay, I have a lot of books to read and to understand, and to listen to podcasts, to read blog posts about how to do this, you know, how to find the market, the product market fit, how PLG, product-led growth type of company works. What do you need? What are the metrics of success? What are the metrics of failure? So it's a matter of learning and make sure that the learning journey is infinite. So there is always something to learn. And we have, well, in cybersecurity, we are, I think, very good at frustration, because everything is frustrating. When you are doing pen testing, everything fails, right? When you are building stuff, everything fails all the time until it works. So when you are building a company, it's like, okay, try and error at the end of the day. So even if I build another company after Prowler, it's going to be a good collection of failures for sure. Because and a company is never the same. So we started with an amount of people. Now we are 15.
Nice.
If tomorrow we are 20, it's a totally different company, because also are different goals in terms of the way that you manage a team of five is not the same as now we are like 11 engineers. It's different. So it was from one man army type of company. Or project to now 11 people building a lot of things, because we are building, of course, Prowler open source. Now we are releasing version 4, Prowler SaaS, which is on top of Prowler open source. And those challenges are always different. And that you have to love a lot what you do to do it.
Yeah, for sure. And is your engineering team kept in-house? Are you at the moment everyone employed and kept in-house, or do you look at outsourcing stuff?
No, we are so the whole company is working from home, and we have everything in locally. Awesome. I mean locally, full-time employees.
Mm-hmm.
We have sometimes people that they contribute with code for front-end things, for example, writing some checks or writing some specific features that we have in point in time. But most of the 95% of our engineering team is full-time teams. Right. We have also agreements with a local university here, the University of Granada, which is one of the top five universities in Spain. We have an agreement with them. So we teach students, interns, they work with us as well. So it's a way to grow the community from college also to collaborate with institutions like a university.
Yeah, nice. What's your favorite way to learn? I know you've learned a lot by the sounds of things over the last few years. What's your favorite channel or method?
Doing labs, probably. Reading blog posts. I mean, I follow a lot of people on Twitter, LinkedIn. A company like ours has to be innovating every day or thinking about new ways of solving problems. At the end of the day, you know, cybersecurity is evolving all the time. And what I try to do is to be updated all the time with blog posts, comments, tweets, new articles from the cloud providers, and then have like my mental map to explain the team, hey, this is happening, or this is going to be, let's say, the new trends of attacks or whatever.
Yeah.
So let's see what we can do to solve that problem with Prowler, things like that. So I don't have a way of learning other than being very obsessed with everything new that comes up to, you know, from the media.
It's a minefield, isn't it? There's so much out there, as you say. And how do you see the future of maybe broadly security or specifically cloud security playing out in the next few years?
Well, what I see is AWS is growing, is always growing, because I think they are doing better job than any other cloud in many ways. Of course, they have to improve things, but we are implementing Azure and GCP and Kubernetes. Working with AWS is different. Everything is less eventually consistent. So my what I see is that AWS is going to keep growing, but at the same time, the market space for Active Directory or the Entra ID and some other type of services for data analytics are kind of moving to Azure and GCP. I don't see GCP growing a lot recently, based at least in the type of users that we have. But yeah, the cloud is going that way. At the same time, I hope Microsoft add more time and priority into their security. We are helping with Prowler with almost 100 checks in the next version of Prowler, but the way that Azure works makes hard to make it secure. They have multiple APIs, multiple versions of the APIs. It's a pain. I'm not embarrassed to say that Azure is a pain. So we will see probably more security issues in Azure if they don't do something important to clarify. I mean, to make the builders build something more secure out of the box.
Yeah,
happens kind of the same in AWS, but in AWS, in terms of APIs and automation, is easier. We see more and more companies moving to the cloud, and that means ClickOps, when you don't know what you are doing. So, you know, the cloud providers, they say, yeah, lift and shift, right? So whatever you have on-prem, move it to the cloud and then adapt it to the cloud. This is what they say, and this is totally wrong.
Right.
Because you are exposing stuff to the whole world without having the proper knowledge. And also probably doing a lot of things with, you know, ClickOps, you know, going to the web console, configuring things there, all that stuff, instead of with infrastructure as code, scanning that static code, then deploying dev, scanning that runtime environment with something like Prowler, for example, and then move it to prod and keep scanning production, because some people may make changes and make mistakes. I will force I will to I mean, this is for us, having security requirements is good for a company like Prowler, but what I see is that the more people that move to the cloud, the more opportunities to hardening and we are going to see.
Yeah,
knowledge is a problem. The security by default, or the lack of security by default in the cloud, is a problem. The way that cloud providers explain the shared responsibility model is a big problem, because they don't have power to make you more secure, but directly in your own side of the security, let's say a virtual machine. But they could do things way better to make the default more secure.
Yes, interesting. It sounds like it, yeah, the way it's structured at the moment, it's a little bit backwards, because if someone that doesn't have the knowledge and know how to go from on-prem to cloud, and they make that shift with not the right education knowledge to do so, there must be so many security risks to that business by doing that. And how do you see the users using Prowler? Is it a case that they've done something like that and they're seeing security issues and then they use Prowler, or is it they're engaging with a tool like Prowler earlier on whilst they're making this shift to the cloud?
The way I see people using Prowler, I mean, it depends on how mature the company or the organization using the tool is, but it's like, okay, I need to know what's going on here.
Yeah.
I run Prowler and I get a lot of findings, the good and the bad findings. Now we have, for example, a feature called allow list or mute, where you can say, okay, yeah, everything that starts by or network ACLs. I don't care about network ACLs because I put a lot of attention into my security groups. So you can skip the network ACLs. You can skip also unused services. So one of the reasons that I say that the shared responsibility model is a pain and it's false and it's broken is because out of the box, the services like Athena, the primary workspace, I think it's workspace the name of Athena, which is a query service for AWS, is not following the best practices. If you go that is a fail in any CSPM. So, but you can skip that fail. Or Control Tower, which is a way to configure AWS, to use AWS, it's like a landing page to create accounts, guardrails, all that stuff. Control Tower generates a bunch of misconfigured resources. Probably this is not going to be an attack vector, but it's not following the best practices.
Yeah,
and you cannot do anything, and it's and those are resources in your account. So what the people use to see is, okay, I have a lot of things to fix. What you can do with Prowler is, okay, go to the critical ones, because we give you everything by severity. Go to the critical ones, which are going to be the real thing that you have to fix. Then go to the high, and depending on your if it's production or not, you may take care of some of the medium. For example, we have a medium can be that you don't have the proper or the most secure cyber suites in your CloudFront.
Mm-hmm.
This is a medium, but if it's production, of course that should be high,
yeah.
Right? So, but by severity is the way that you can calibrate what Great. You have to do.
Great stuff. And before we wrap this up, is there any plugs that you wanted to make, Tony?
Well, you mean in terms of new stuff that we are releasing?
Yeah, it could be anything. Or like, for example, if someone wants to get in contact with Prowler, how do they reach out to you? Is there any exciting features up and coming that people should know about listening to this?
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for the opportunity, first of all. And second is they can go to prowler.com and then or GitHub. They can look at Prowler Security, Prowler Cloud, and they will find our GitHub repo. They can go straight in their laptop and type PIP install Prowler and scan their cloud. We are releasing version 4 of Prowler with a bunch of new checks for AWS with threat detection as well. For GCP, with 100 checks for GCP, 100 something checks for Azure, including CIS benchmarks, Kubernetes as well. So we are releasing Kubernetes in the version 4 of Prowler,
right.
That is coming up in a couple of weeks. And dashboards. We are releasing open source dashboards that you can use with the data that you get from Prowler open source, but also you can create your custom dashboards with the data that you get from Prowler SaaS. So you can pull that data from Prowler SaaS and build your own dashboards locally.
Nice.
And then we are adding S3 integration in our SaaS, Jira integration in our SaaS, and many other features that people is going to love for sure.
Cool. Well, it's been a pleasure, Tony. Thanks for coming on, and we'll chat again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Stefan.
Cheers, Tony.